I want to say, yeah, Cheryl's going to have all the kids up here right in front. You kids can come on up, and I want to say something to the adults here about this frame here. I was in Cumberland, Maryland. Come right up on the front row, kids. Come on right up here. That'd be good. Yeah, that's good. You're doing good. There was a pastor who had been a manager at Walmart, and he resigned his position at Walmart to be a pastor of a church. And he thought about making a frame for my pictures here, and here's what we came up with here. And he said all of this could be bought at Lowe's or Home Depot for about $50, materials to make these frames. It cost anywhere from $200 to $400 to have a professional frame made for these pictures. It's quite a large frame. It's going to cost big bucks to go to a frame shop and have it made. You can make this yourself very inexpensively. And this is plastic. It already has a finish on it. You don't have to finish it. It's all plastic. This is an insulation board. Very easy to lightweight stuff. All foam. And we only use two tools, a saw and a screwdriver. I think instead of a saw to make these miters, I think it would be good, probably better to have a razor blade knife and make those 45 degree angles there. Probably a cleaner cut. Some screws in the back, screw it right into the frame there. Put a piece of wire over the back and hang it up. We took vinyl sheeting, stretched it across the picture. After it was on this, attach it to this some way, glue or something, this green stuff, and stretched across. I took it and then folded it back over the back and so forth, and put a piece of tape along there. Take a hair dryer and it'll loosen up at first, and then when it cools, it'll dry. It will dry tight. This is designed to block ultraviolet light from windows and doorways. So it will block maybe a third of the black light, but some of the black light will get through, and most of it probably, and you'll be able to see the black light picture through the plastic once you get this done. Won't be as bright as it would be in natural light, but still you have this protective covering instead of putting glass over it. And then you could paint this brown or put some brown tape. We didn't go that far. But it took us 1 hour to do this together. I think in a half a day, you know, if you took a half a day, you could go down and you could buy the materials, you could come home and you could make the picture. And on one of these snowy afternoons, you guys could do this. Right, ladies? And so this is another project for you. But it doesn't take very long, and it's really fun to do. And it's kind of like if you're any way crafty at all, it would be a nice job to do. And it'll cut the expense of framing these. That's always been a problem. And this is a way out of that problem of being expensive. And if it's not expensive, then it is time-consuming to have the glass cut and making the frame yourself. It's not... And staining the frame, all that takes time. It's pretty much of a job. So you take a look at this. I'll leave this up over here and someplace, and you take a look at that. And if you would like to do that, that would be fine, and it'd be a way that you could frame these pictures. Cheryl, come on up, and she's going to do the story for us this afternoon.
Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. Have a wonderful group of boys. While he's not here. runs the circus. He helps with the rigging of the big tent. He's a put out. Get him out of here! Get him out of here right now! And Taylor could do was let the tears come down. He felt so sorry for Poco. Poco was a good animal. And he felt sorry for him. Yelled at again. About that time. Boy! Boy! You talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Says, you get rides on that elephant? Is that your elephant? Says, I take care of him. And I never thought about giving rides. Yeah, my mom says I can ride on him. How much is it going to cost? A quarter. Yeah, we got that. And that got a quarter. And Taylor was going to get a ride on Poco. Well, had to have something. So he pulled the blanket out, and he put the blanket on Poco, and off they went. Well, they had to go all the way around the big tent. It would take 5-10 minutes to get all the way, maybe 15 minutes to get all the way around the big tent there. And so, what were they going to talk about? And then he looked down at the blanket he had found. What the colors of the blanket?
Maybe so.
tonight to this afternoon to Psalm 9, verse 17. Three questions about hell this afternoon. And very often they are asked. And so let's see what the scripture says about these three questions. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 9, verse 17. And certainly it supplies, certainly hell supplies all the motivation that we need to witness to others and to warn them against the horror and terror of dying and going to hell. And one of the questions would be, is there a real place that the Bible calls hell? Many wonder about that. Is there a real place that the Bible calls hell? Well, only the Bible could answer this with authority, and anything else is just speculation. There are two groups of people in the world. John 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, of them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And in John 8, verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. So those who have put their faith and trust in Christ will never go to hell. Two kinds of people in the world, lost people and saved people. There's all kinds of races and languages and cultures, educational levels and economic levels and so forth, but actually there's only two kinds of people in the world, and that is people who are lost and people who are saved. And we all fit into one of those two groups. Those who are saved understand how that sin was laid upon Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. God punished Jesus in our place. He suffered and fully paid the penalty for sin on the cross of Calvary. In Bible interpretation, we are to take the scripture literal unless the context tells us that the Bible is using symbolic language. So in Luke 16 and verse 28, the Bible says this place. So it calls hell a place. Jesus was not using symbolic language in Luke 16. He calls one of the two individuals involved here. There's Lazarus and there's the rich man, and he calls Lazarus by name. So he's not using symbolic language, the context tells us. So yes, there is a real, literal place called hell where people who reject Christ as Savior die and go there, and they're there forever, and there is no escape. Well, there's another question. What kind of place is hell? Well, hell is a place of separation, first of all. Man is eternally separated from God. It's a place where God turns his back on a person and says, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Matthew 25, verse 41. So we're living in a day when one can spit in God's face and reject God and reject his plan for salvation, and yet God still comes back. And with mercy, he's willing to save sinners. Isn't that something? And friend, you can't do enough. You can't do enough against God to cause him not to love you. His love is so extraordinary, it is absolutely mind-boggling. So, if you already have one foot in hell, you can still be saved. If you'll come to Christ and trust him as your Savior. God's forgiveness is not based upon our merit. And that's the thing about Israel, too. I'm preparing a message on Israel, and when God made the covenant with Israel, he did not make the covenant with Israel based upon Israel's behavior. He made a covenant concerning the land, that would be their land, and the people would populate the land, not based upon how spiritual they were. And in fact, Israel's in unbelief now. Not only are they in unbelief, but most of the leaders have been in the Kabbalah, the Kabbalistic Judaism. And many, many in Israel of the people are in Kabbalahism. It's that old Babylonian religion they learned down in they learned in Babylon whenever they were in the Babylonian captivity. It is wicked. It is absolutely occultic, devilish, wicked. You can't imagine how wicked Kabbalahism is. And it's catching on here in the United States among Jewish people as well. So many in Hollywood are Kabbalistic Jews. Some of them have converted to Kabbalism who are not even Jews. Isn't that something? So appealing to them, I guess. But it fits right in with the times we're living in, doesn't it? Again, I say, look at everything in light of the second coming of Jesus Christ. They'll not always be in... The Jew will not always be in unbelief. One day they're going to recognize Jesus whom they've pierced. It'll not always be that way. But it is right now. But that does not negate the covenant that, as some believe, it does. Some today believe that negates the covenant God made. All kinds of things are going on. And some believe that the promises, they believe in replacement theology of one kind or another. And believe that the policies or the covenants that was given to the Jew now is no longer applies to the Jew, that it applies to the church. And all of that, of course, is unbiblical. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God's forgiveness is not based upon our merit. Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches, not of your grace, but of His grace. By the riches of His grace. There's coming a day when the line has to be drawn, and if one refuses to receive Jesus Christ and reject Him as your Savior, there is coming a day when He must, in order not to sacrifice His justice, say, depart from me. It's an eternal separation from God. Then secondly, hell is a place where we are eternally separated from our loved ones who are saved. One dies to go and goes to hell, and if they have loved ones who are saved, they will be eternally separated. An old Christian judge said to a lawyer one day, I understand you and your wife's going to be separated. And the lawyer said, what? And he said, we're not going to be separated. Where did you hear that? He said, well, I heard the doctor say your wife only had 3 weeks to live. And she's saved, and you're not. And when she dies and goes to heaven, you're not going to be there with her because you've never trusted Christ as Savior. And the lawyer bowed his head, and he was silent for a while. He says, well, I want to go with her to heaven if someone would just show me how. And so the judge led him to Jesus Christ. Hell's a place of absolute despair. That's what kind of place hell is. Many of you know that the thing that keeps us going is hope. Even when doctors have given up on us, we still hold out the possibility that some new miracle drug's going to be invented and it's going to... Maybe cure our malady, or something's going to happen that all of a sudden all the tests that's been coming back are going to be proven wrong. And there's always hope. When all else fails, at the end of the rope there is hope. Hope, hope, hope. What about when businesses fail, when businesses go bad? And it's going in the wrong direction. And for a lot of people right now, business is going in the wrong direction. And from what I am seeing, I have no encouraging words for you, friend. It might get even worse from what we're seeing. And Mayor of New York City is predicting riots soon. And the government is storing up vast quantities of food for some reason. Things might get a little rough in the next few months. Who knows? But there's not a lot of optimism right now, I would say that, among the American people. 80% of them have a negative feeling about the next year. So it's not a very, very encouraging thing. But there's always hope. There's always hope that the tide will turn and something will happen. And out of the blue, something unexpected is going to happen. It's going to turn your business around and you're going to have more customers than you can possibly handle. And that's the only thing that keeps the businessman going. Same thing happens in marriage when a man and wife are fighting and fussing and going on and on. There's always hope that things can be reconciled, even though up to that point all things have failed as far as reconciliation. But there's always hope. 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 Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 12, rejoicing in hope. But you see, in hell there is no hope. The people in hell have no hope of escaping. They have no hope of a second chance. They have no hope of a pardon. All hope is lost. It's a hopeless situation. The third question that some might ask is, will a God of love, and I've had this one put to me several times, will a God of love permit anyone to go to hell? It's difficult for the lost person to see. It doesn't compute. Will a God of love? I always thought God was a God of love. And here you're telling us that people are going to die and go to hell for all eternity? It doesn't add up, you see, to a person. So to answer that, look at the past. God let men sin. God let men sin, and God let sin come into the world. And God let death come into the world by sin. God allowed thousands of people to be slaughtered at once on one occasion because of their wickedness. God opened up the earth and the earth swallowed people because of their wickedness. God punished men. And God has always stuck to His word. On the other hand, and God is a God of judgment on one hand. And on the other hand, God is doing everything He can to keep us out of hell. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, we'll have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. And so God is not eager to pour out His judgments on the world. He waits and He waits and He waits. Have you ever thought about being in God's place, what you would do? What would you do? Well, I think it's would be pretty different from what God's going to do. God is long-suffering. And God is patient. And it goes on and on and on. But one day, His patience is going to run out. And time will run out too for those who are lost and without Christ as Savior. But the Bible says that being often reproved, He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Proverbs 29, verse 1. You ever seen an old bull? When I was just a youngster, I had an older brother that was in the Future Farmers of America in high school. And every student had to have a class project. He chose a cow for his project. And we had a house, and then we had a garage that was separate from the house where they built them back then. So my dad built a kind of like a pen there in the back of the garage, kind of extended the garage on out, and that was a pen. And that's where they kept Toby. That was his name, Toby. And I looked out one day. I don't know what my dad and my brother were trying to do, but they had a rope around this cow's neck, and they were pulling on that rope. And that cow had just exactly opposite the idea that they had. He wanted to do something different. He put out his old front legs like this, and he stiffened up his neck. You ever saw a cow do that? And he just stiffened up his old neck like that. I don't remember who won, but I'll tell you what, that cow gave him a battle. Man, that was a real battle they were in. Well, that's what a human being does, essentially, whenever they don't want to be saved. Remember Jared Lautner, that fellow that killed six people, I believe it was, in Arizona, and wounded about 20? Jared Lautner. He was into Satanism. He was a pothead. He was into heavy metal, rock music. And according to the New York Daily News, Lautner was a Satan worshiper. And remember whenever that came out, just a couple of hours after that happened, the news media was saying, this must be a hate crime. This must be a hate crime, this fellow shooting the congresswoman there in Arizona. But as we come to find out, the congresswoman and Jared Lautner, both of them were Jewish people, and both of them were members of the same synagogue. Not likely that it would be a hate crime. And Jared Lautner put something on his website just a few days before he shot these people. And he stated, no, I will not trust in God. No, I will not trust in God. You know what he was doing? He was stiffening his neck. You know what else that indicates to me? That indicates to me that somebody had witnessed to him. So somebody had given him a track somewhere on the line. Jared Lautner, that's not a statement a person would make unless somebody had given them a track or witnessed to them somewhere. No! I will not trust in God. And then I thought about another scripture in Proverbs. Another scripture in Proverbs 8 and verse 36. All they that hate me love death. Remember that this Halloween when it comes around. Remember that scripture. All they that hate me, that's Jesus Christ. Me, all that hate Jesus Christ, all they that hate me. What else about them? They love death. They don't love life, they love death. And all these people going around dressed in skeleton suits and witches' garments and all sorts of demonic, hey, they love death. That's the devil's holiday. That's not God's holiday. Right. And you know what? In the northeastern United States, it's bigger than Christmas. It's bigger. They celebrate their witches over there. They're actually proud of it. It's part of their history, and they flaunt it. It's becoming that way here. go down to Walmart and you see two aisles of nothing but Halloween paraphernalia. They've cleared out a couple of aisles, make room for all the Halloween stuff. People are beginning to celebrate the devil's holidays and revel in it and actually enjoy that more than other holidays. Again, look at it through the second coming. I hate to be a broken record here, but when you look at it in light of the second coming of Jesus Christ, it can't be long. It can't be long. And so, will a God of love permit anyone to go to hell? Well, God loves man, but he will not overcome man's will. We can resist God to the death. A person that does not want to be saved will not be saved. He will not overcome our will. Yes, God is a God of love, but he will allow us to go to hell if that's what we insist on. If that's what we really want, God will allow us to do it. He doesn't want us to go to hell. God is doing everything he possibly can to keep us out of hell. But he will allow us to go if that is what we genuinely desire and reject Jesus Christ as our Savior. Well, I'm going to draw for you right now. And the two roads of life, and all of us are on one of two roads, friend. There's one road that's wide and broad, and that road leads to hell. There's another that's narrow, and that road leads to the city of God. Heaven is pictured as a city in the Bible. It's the city of God, and God does not want us to go on that broad road, wide road. The choice is ours. So let's have all the lights out, please. Thank you. In God is what Jared Lautner said. Don't be like him. Don't be like him. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I wonder, is there someone here this afternoon who might say, pray for me? I'm not sure where I'm going to spend eternity, and I want to be sure. Is there somebody like that tonight? Father, we're grateful for your goodness, and help us to take the message of the gospel to others all about us who are lost and without Jesus Christ as Savior. We'll give thee the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing "Just As I Am," and as we sing that song, you come. Maybe you'd like to come and pray this morning or this afternoon, whatever your need, you're invited to come. On "Just As I Am."
Just as I am, without one plea, shed for me.
Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy. We pray that you'd be with us throughout the week. May many boys and girls be saved in the coming chapels and school, and we'll give thee the praise in Christ's name. Amen.